what I can say, I did get an affiliate from social development.
Development.
Yeah.
Down next door.
Down next door, exactly. Their parents voiced impact, so they apologized, but I was assured that the presentation that is going to be given out today is a joint presentation where they can get That is where the three departments need to come together and say, how do we shape this learner that is going to be a very active citizen of our country and contribute to the betterment of the country. That is where we see them developing those social skills, developing cognitive. So we saw as we say, let us come together. When we look at how we're going to shape our education, the three departments play a very important role. Health, we always look up to them for screening our learners, identifying those learners at a very early stage. Social development, as from Mdwana, that is where we need to see these departments playing a very important role to say how do we shape the future of these learners. Then basic education, take the learner from there. As of now, we're writing matric exams, but we always say it's a very fundamental and important stage is that one on early childhood development. And today, that is why we are here, that is why we have acts and policies in our country that make sure that these three departments come together to shape the lives of our students. That will be our discussion today. How do we make sure that we're talking of post-industrial revolution? One of the important things we are saying, we cannot expect those changes to be happening out there. From the initial programs at a very early stage, how do we groom and shape our learners towards all those things? The practitioners that you have in those centers, how do we resource those centers? So I think that will be a very vibrant and important discussion that we are going to be taking after we have had and after we have received the presentation that the three departments have come out. But maybe before I even hand over to the three departments to lead us on the presentation, there are apologies that are in front of me now. The one I think I'm not sure whether they are still actually that I will give. Got an apology from the minister. Ministry of Basic Education, they're in UNESCO, they're in Paris, so they want to form part of our meeting today together with UDG. Again, I received an apology from Jefferson, she was running late, but she will be joining us at the meeting. And also, Honorable Costa also indicated that she will be joining us at the stage. She was running late.
Thank you, Chairperson. The two apologies for basic education is Honorable Mashabela and Honorable Chairman of the UNESCO.
Thank you very much. What I say, Honorable, thank you,
Chair. I'm saying my apology for Honorable Mashabela, but I'm representing her today.
Oh, yes. Okay, thank you. We thought maybe you are from one of the
inside. No.
Also, you are Mashabela too.
Yes.
Thank you so much for that. Honorable members, let me allow the department then to give us their presentation, talk to the issues that pertain to this particular program. Then after that,
thank you, Chair. Before the department do the presentation, can I get a clarity since the Department of Social Development couldn't make it today?
Yes.
what is the way forward? Because surely the committee needs their input regarding the entitled presentation.
Yeah, thank you, Honourable Member. As I said, there's a presentation that you are getting, the joint one, of which we've been assured that today they prepared it together. But I believe as the discussion continues, if ever we see the gaps, we'll always call them back to discuss that. But let us listen to the presentation and see that joint presentation today. Surely, because they contributed also to the presentation. So can I hand over to you, Dr. Mr.
Thanks, Chair, and honourable members from different portfolio committees. The presentation that you are doing here today is a joint presentation, as indicated. But I thought maybe before we even start with the presentation, I must just update regarding the disruptions that we had yesterday that affected the writing of the National Senior Certificate examinations. So as you are aware, members, we are into the second week of the writing of the grade 12 examinations, final examinations. And yesterday in particular, we were writing two papers. In fact, it's three papers, two in the morning and one in the afternoon. So the two papers that were written yesterday are Math Paper 2, as well as Math Literacy Paper 2. And in the afternoon, it was Visual Arts. So as you are aware that there were these protest demonstrations and marches yesterday relating to Black Monday, surely this has had a serious impact on the writing of so as a department, we had to put measures in place at least to make sure that these learners end up writing the papers that we're supposed to write. So the disruptions mainly affected papers that we are writing in the morning, that is the paper 2 math and paper 2 math list. And the major disruptions that we had yesterday were around the Western Cape and Gauteng, but one of the measures that we took is to ensure that by the time these learners get to the examination centers, at least they were allowed to write. But our regulations regarding the writing of NSC examination do also allow us to put in place certain mechanisms which we are going to also explore and see how we can make up for whatever number of learners that would have been negatively impacted by those demonstrations. As it is, we are busy trying to get data from different centers as to how many learners could not make it. But what we know is that most of the learners who were late, we were able to accommodate them. The department did issue out a statement yesterday to that effect. And I think members will be able also to access this from our website.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Mabuya, for starting with that. I thought we'd get it at the end. But yeah, we needed to get that up because we have heard in the media the way the servant does. But I think all our worry was to say, don't we have any learner that has been disadvantaged for not being able to take part in that? But thank you very much for the update. It's one thing that we are here to make sure that we hear the full results. But honourable members, that is the report on the exams and the Black Monday yesterday, which I think all of us were very much worried about today. How will it affect our learning exams? And I heard the emissions from those provinces talking, and at least one of some parties to say all the measures are put in place for working today. But still, the outstanding number, if ever there are any in the class, it's one of the crucial reports that will be awaiting to be attended by the Black Monday, which is if ever there are any.
I then allow. Oh, yes, Honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson. One less gentleman of colleagues. Chairperson, I also welcome the update on the strike yesterday, Black Monday, the protest, and how the department responded. I'm happy the way they are responding. I want also to bring to the attention of the taxi strikes that took place on Friday, where many students might have arrived late or not arrived at all due to the teacher strike. It went up until 12-1, most of the provinces, more especially where I am, Mpumalanga, I've noted that. If that can be taken into consideration, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. As you rightly pointed out, this is a joint presentation. As a result, I'm here with my colleagues from the other two departments. We are actually three key departments, the Department of Basic Education, the Department of Health, as well as the Department of Social Development. So we are here so that if there are any questions that have to be responded to, my colleagues will be here. And I don't know if you'll allow us to introduce ourselves. So I'm going to ask colleagues to introduce themselves. I'll start with myself. My name is Mamiki Mabuya. I'm the Deputy Director General responsible for curriculum at Basic Education.
Good morning, honorable members and colleagues. My name is Musa Mobomberger from the Department of Social Development. I'm responsible as the Chief Director for Early Childhood Development.
Good morning. My name is Anita Samad. I'm from the Department of Social Development. I work in the Strategy Unit responsible for Risk and Infrastructure.
Good morning. My name is Marie Louise Samuels. I'm the Director for Early Childhood Development at the Department of Basic Education.
Good morning. I'm Dondina Zubobo from the Department of Health, the Director for the Adolescent Child Youth and School Health, the Early Childhood Development portfolio falls under the Director of Health.
Good morning, my name is Osborne Matilela from the Office of the DG Social Development.
Thanks, colleagues. And honorable members, I'm going to take you through the presentation that we have going to put together. And this is the briefing on the early childhood development. And this is the overview of the presentation. And in the main, I need to indicate that the presentation is based on the National Integrated Education Strategy that was appointed by the cabinet in December 2016. So what we did then was to organize this around those major themes. For instance, when you look at the overview, your bullet number 4 is on the progress that you are going to provide would be actually around certain chapters of the ECD policy. That would be the strategy and implementation of programs around infrastructure for ECD services, leadership coordination, and human resource development. So this is the purpose of the presentation. And but we also needed, now that we are reporting around the ECD policy, we thought maybe we need to take you through just a synopsis of what is entailed in the policy itself. So here it will be about the background to the development of the policy. The analysis that we are showing here is the analysis that foregrounded the development of the policy itself. This was the situation then when the policy was developed. It was around the issue of saying there are so many children who fall within the range of 0 to 6 years, right? And the largest number of these learners are found in those, mainly in those provinces, that would be your KZN and Gauteng, and the lowest were found in the Free State as well as in the Northern Cape. But the major issue again was around the distribution of poverty. Now, when you look at that, you would notice that the burden of poverty, for instance, is distributed unequally across the provinces, where you have your mainly poor provinces that are actually being negatively affected, or even usually affected by the burden of poverty. And in Limpopo, as we can see, it's about 76%, and Eastern Cape, 75%, and KZN, 67%. So these are some of the factors that prompted the development of this particular policy to ensure that we close those inequality gaps and to ensure that at least we also provide services of good quality. And the National Integrated ECD Policy, as it is, so this is its purpose, mainly, as you can see, it forms that overarching multi-sectoral enabling framework for ECD services, inclusive of all those levels, national, provincial, local spheres of government included. And it serves also to define what is meant by a comprehensive package of ECD services, but also it also outlines the relevant role players and as well as their roles and responsibilities. And it also touches on issues of national ECD leadership and coordinating structures that have to be in place to ensure that the delivery of the program is according to the standards. That's the vision of the ECD policy, which I may not even have to go through, but largely is around ensuring that our young children and their families in South Africa live in environments conducive to their optimal development. And that is the mission. And within the policy, there's a clear definition of what we mean by an ECD center. And this is in a way trying to differentiate between what you would normally refer to as daycare centers and your ECD center. So what distinguishes this from your ordinary daycare centers is the fact that this is not just a child-minding center, but it's a center that provides a program that is driven by the issue of early learning as well as the development of the child. And these are the policy goals. As you can see, we have them in three categories: your short-term goals, your medium-term goals, as well as your long-term goals. So looking at the short-term goals was in a way of trying to set up the necessary systems and legal frameworks to ensure that by the time we implement the policy, at least everything else is in place. So this the short-term goals would go up to 2017, where we are covering issues such as legal framework, organizational structures, as well as institutional arrangements. And when it comes to the medium term, it's about now looking at the development of the child using the comprehensive package of services and identifying those priority services for this particular period and saying these are the ones that must be in place. And then so that for your long term, up to 2030, then we'll be looking at other, not that they are not essential, but the most prioritized ones would have been covered in your medium-term goals. Then this is what we call a comprehensive package of services. It would contain all those services, early learning, which we referred to earlier on, nutrition and health, parent support, social protection, and the gray ones are equally important. Place, sport, and culture is one of those that are colored, and then you have the gray one, which we say might also be considered going forward. They have to be considered going forward. And then roles and responsibilities, as I indicated, the policy covers that as well, to say what are the roles of the parents, what are the roles of government departments, and what are the roles of the civil society. It also spells out clearly the responsibilities of your key departments that are represented here, the responsibility of the Department of Basic Education, the Department of Health, as well as the Department of Social Development. And there, these are the structures that are in place to ensure that there's proper coordination and collaboration amongst all the role players. We have, for instance, that ministerial inter-ministerial committee, which sits on a quarterly basis, and we have the national interdepartmental committee, where all the departments that are affected sit together and meet on a monthly basis. And we do have the other one, which is the South African Intersectoral Toronto Intercentral Development, where even you have these departments that are role players, but also your NGOs and other organizations that do have a stake in ECD. And we also have those other subcommittees that are dealing with peculiar issues, such as your training and curriculum subcommittee, your policy and education subcommittee. So you have those subcommittees that are also representative of the different departments as well as other organizations, non-governmental organizations. They also sit in those various subcommittees. And those subcommittees, in actual fact, they do report to the national intergovernmental. The policy does also make provision for the funding model, which is packaged in that fashion. We have the objectives of early childhood development funding, which focuses on the issue of quality of services. It also focuses on the issue of coverage, how many learners, how many children are we supposed to accommodate in the program, but also it ensures that we also become very inclusive in our approach by not marginalizing poor communities as well as your learners or children with their disabilities. The funding model, this is how it looks like, and at the bottom there you can see that the major focus is funding for infrastructure development. We also have funding for the training of the workforce for ECD, but also a national coordinated funding framework and accountability for expenditure. So for me, those are the major areas within the funding model as provided for within the policy. Then we then get into the progress report relating to strategy as well as the different programs that we alluded to earlier on. And the first one being the registration of ECD centers. And so what we are highlighting here is that by the end of the financial year 2015-17, we had a total number of 26,643 ECD centers that were registered with the Department of Social Development, and the number of children within those centers who were subsidized was 607,092, and the total number of children accessing ECD services would be 944,092. Now, as at the end of the second quarter, that is at the end of September this year, the number of new registered ECD centers would be 1,623, and the number of new children accessing ECD centers is 968,853, and those who are getting new subsidies is 593, and then 1,000, and the number of children subsidized is 61,000. So the two statistics are exclusive of each other. That one represents what we have as at the end of the last financial year, but this one is exclusively for the new financial year, the two quarters of the new financial year. National ECD Integrated Implementation Plan. Within the policy itself, there's a provision for the development of a national ECD Integrated Implementation Plan, seeing that you do have different role players who are supposed to make their input into the plan, such that ultimately we don't have a plan for the Department of Social Development on ECD, a plan for the Department of Basic Education, but we have an integrated plan that will take into consideration all the activities, all the responsibilities that are supposed to be executed by different departments. So this as far as the development of that integrated ECD plan is concerned, we can report that the ECD National Integrated Implementation Plan has been drafted with the assistance of UNICEF. So what has happened is that within that plan, all the departments have made inputs. But we just needed to highlight that the consultations are still ongoing to ensure that we get the department, I mean the inputs from departments that are still outstanding, and those are the departments that are still outstanding. And as I indicated, there are still consultations with these departments to ensure that they are not left out in the integrated plan. So we have the draft plan that will be great. And then this is just an example of the type of engagements that we are having with COPTA. And as you will be aware, COPTA is quite key, especially at the local level, because this is the department that is supposed to assist with the infrastructure, that is supposed to assist in terms of the bylaws, to ensure that our ECD centers are actually acceptable standards. So opportunities for learning is one of the programs that we are offering within the policy, and that is done through the implementation of what we call the National Curriculum Framework. So in our country, we do have what we call the National Curriculum Framework for 0 to 4 year olds, and that was developed in 2015, and so the centers had to have access to this policy, I mean to the framework itself, so that they could ensure that these learners are actually exposed to early learning as well as stimulation programs. So the NCF, as we have it, the copies thereof have been distributed to officials, and the total number of these officials is 2,070, but the number of centers that have access to this is 90,680, and the total that were distributed with this per province would be 92,760. But I must indicate that we do have also the electronic version of this National Curriculum Framework, and it's also on our DBE website. But we also ensured that the curriculum is accessible to all the children, and as a result, the NCF has been brailled to ensure that all blind practitioners and parents have access to the program. And 37 deaf teaching assistants have been trained on the NCF itself to ensure that all children at schools of deaf have access to the program. And the next steps would be to include collaborating with organizations, working with deaf parents and practitioners, working with deaf children. And then I think the issue of quality for us is very important in the implementation of the curriculum for 0 to 4 year olds. And as a result, the progress that we have made so far we have adopted in terms of the delivery of the curriculum. We have adopted a play-based learning approach, so we are busy now with conducting advocacy on the materials that should be used by caregivers, parents, and practitioners. So that's where we are. And this the advocacy materials will be on the DVD, and which highlights the importance of. So that should be completed by the implementation. And then so far, 300 practitioners, trainers, academics, and government officials attended the play-based conference, which is part of your advocacy. And then we have also, because this particular play-based learning, which is a program on its own, which we are busy training our practitioners on, is an online type of a program, training program. But I must also indicate that it's not only online. What we are referring to here in terms of registration would be the online modality that we are using, but we are using both online as well as face-to-face to ensure that we train as many practitioners. And we're also developing a monitoring and evaluation framework that would assist in the implementation of the curriculum. And so far, the services of Kuluka Management have been sourced with funding from UNICEF, and those are the things that those would be your deliverables in terms of that. And this is the projected timelines or the project timelines, but the progress that we have made so far is that the monitoring tools have been developed and tested. Communication with provinces on the process has happened, and we have sampled and about 350 centers where we'll be piloting this monitoring and evaluation framework. And remember that the centers are already implementing the curriculum, so it would be of great interest for us to know as to whether this monitoring the implementation of the curriculum and also looking at the issue of the impact. So monitoring and data collection at centers is ongoing, and then the training of 100 provincial and district officials on the tools, and then training manual has also been developed. And healthcare and nutrition is another sub-program within the policy itself, or a program for that matter within the policy itself. So here we are reporting mainly on the issue of immunization trials, both for antenatal as well as your prenatal. So these are the figures. I'm not going to go deeply into them. And as you can see, the tables are also formatted even in terms of the provinces to see exactly how far are we in terms of the provinces' coverage. So this is the coverage, and nationally, we are saying in terms of the first visit of less than 20 weeks in quarter one, 2017-18, we are sitting in at 155,361. And antenatal clients initiated the rate of coverage. This is where we are nationally. We are sitting at 30,000 to that, 287. And then we also have progress in terms of the financial year 2017-18 to say that this is where the progress is. I'm just looking at the national stats. So I think members will be able maybe to interrogate that, and then we have the relevant officials will be able to respond to this. And Chair, I'm not going to go through all the tables because they are almost similar, but I think members will be able maybe to point to certain areas where they would need more clarity. So this is where we are in terms of those including measures, second dose coverage. So it's mainly about the coverage, how far have we gone in terms of making sure that each and every child and even the mothers do get the necessary immunization program. And yeah. All right. And then, and as far as nutrition is concerned, the Department of Health has been able to develop the nutrition guidelines for ECD programs, and these were approved in the first quarter of 2017. And the purpose was to ensure that quality nutritious meals is being provided, and also to adhere to food service standards. And the challenges that we have with the three programs that I outlined, the program regarding health and nutrition, the program regarding early learning, the program regarding the registration of ECDs, these are the challenges that we have. We noticed that the issue of obtaining accurate information cuts across all the programs. It's not easy to get accurate information. And what action are we taking? There's a signing of the approval of MOU with the donor currently in process to collect data and develop the system. So we need a very credible system that will help us to get accurate data all the time from all these centers as and when they get registered. So that that should be able to inform our programs. And we also have challenges around immunization coverage. And what we are doing in terms of this is the fact that we have noticed that mainly it's about people not having access to information, not even being able, to access information around the programs that are, or services that are available. So as you can see, our actions are mainly around messaging and, you know, making sure that everybody at least understands what the services are there and what they entail. So we have what you call your mom connect messages, we have what you call nest connect messages, we have also updated the Road to Health book, and that covers a number of areas, and that would include health promotion messages for children under 5 years, issues of nutrition, protection, health care, and extra care. The challenges that we want also to register here are challenges around lack of knowledge on how to plan for activities. So this can only be mitigated by resourcing of the Asia strategy. We're also experiencing, to a certain extent, a lack of cooperation from COPTA as a key department in implementing the ECD
policy around infrastructure, around bylaws, around zoning, around registration of the centers, and also around the provision of data. So these are challenges that we are experiencing, but the process map outline demonstrates how complicated, costly, and time-consuming it is to go through the municipality system. So, but as I indicated, we have ongoing consultations with COFSA to try to resolve most of these challenges that we have. Outstanding departments of science and technology, as I indicated, for us to finalize the implementation plan, we need the input from all the affected departments, and with these other departments, as I indicated, there are those ongoing engagements with them. Lack of sufficient human capacity at national and in provinces to deal with the ECD programs as well as the ECD challenges as we have. So proposed solution is that we need to have additional capacity in the ECD, chief directorate for coordination of ECD services. I think here mainly we are talking about the Department of Social Development, mainly your national key departments to say we really need to have those in place, and processes are in place, I think, to look at the structures and to ensure that we capacitate this unit sufficiently. And infrastructure for ECD services, the progress on that, this is mainly driven through your ECD conditional grant. And the progress so far is that the Department of Social Development has been able to initiate the approval of the conditional grant framework, and this was approved in December 2016. And the grant had become operational as of the 1st of April 2017. And the grant mainly has got two components, which would be your subsidy component, ECD cap subsidy component, as well as ECD maintenance component. Now, in as far as the conditional grant is concerned, the three units within the Department of Social Development are working together. That is your ECD program, infrastructure, and finance, to ensure that there is the proper implementation of the grant framework. Now there are these bouncing. These are mainly your institutional arrangements to ensure that the grant framework is implemented as it should. So far the provinces have spent, the amount that was transferred to provinces is about 175 million for subsidy, maintenance, and administration of the grant itself. That's the amount that was transferred to your provincial social development unit. So up to so far, provinces have spent about 91 million, which constitutes 52% of the total amount that has been transferred. And DSD to report to Treasury by the 15th of November 2017 on the implementation of or the performance of the grant itself. The monitoring and evaluation framework for the grant itself still has to be developed by the monitoring and evaluation unit. And there's also monitoring of the implementation of the grant framework that is done through review of progress reports and claim certificates. So there are a number of other mechanisms that are in place to ensure that the grant is, because it's a conditional grant, it has to be implemented according to the conditions set out, but what is also important is around the expenditure on the ground, the grant itself. Bi-monthly meetings with provinces are also conducted just to get feedback on the issues of expenditure and whether the expenditure is in line with the conditional grant framework itself. Now, here we are just reflecting on those ECD centers
that are benefiting from the ECD maintenance grant. And we have them as the nine provinces, but as you can see, the biggest portion of this is allocated to your poorest provinces, that is Limpopo, KZN, as well as the Eastern Cape. And in total, these centers are 678 all in all. So this is mainly around the maintenance of infrastructure that is already there in your community. And this is just a pictorial reflection of what we were talking about in the previous slide. And then facilities in poorest wards, I think the issue of quality also goes with the quality of facilities that we have in the center. And this we are just showing to say that this is the number of centers that are getting this maintenance grant. And the percentage that falls in the poorest wards, this is what we have. And as you can see, again, the bigger portion, as I indicated, it's about 80.6% that would go to Limpopo, and KwaZulu-Natal is 69.2, and Eastern Cape would be that. In total, this amounts to 67.8% of the grant that goes to the poorest ward. Challenges, like we indicated earlier on, lack of resources regarding HR, the skills, and the implementation of the ECD policy regarding the coordination of work done by various departments, programs, and conditional grant itself, and lack of prioritization of ECD objectives by other departments in the implementation of this, because as I indicated, the implementation of the policy affects a number of departments. So if ECD is not prioritized within those departments, then ECD will continue to be marginalized. And slow movement in alignment of policies and legislation with ECD policy by partner departments. Obviously, the ECD policy has got implications for other policies in other departments, and there needs to be that alignment with the ECD policy, and that has not happened and it poses a challenge. Now the action is that of approval of the MOU with the DG Marae Trust for the work to start data collection and development of the information system and support of the management of the conditional grant itself, because conditional grant also depends largely on the management of data. And finalization of the financial strategy to inform funding of services as the action that has to be taken. Leadership and coordination, partnerships and collaboration in particular under leadership. The Department of Social Development is developing an integrated policy on maternal support to address the first 1,000 days of child's life. So as you can see, mainly is around coming up with policies that will be integrated in nature to reflect the spirit of the policy itself. And DG Marae Trust is assisting in the strengthening of capacity for supporting the implementation of the grant itself. And then Ilifa Labantwana has set aside funds to assist with data collection on ECD centers and children in ECD centers. That information will then be appropriately processed so that it actually ends up in data that would inform other programs. And as you can see, it's mainly around the management of data. Then other partnerships that we have would be around those provinces that are training on parenting
for parents and caregivers. Provinces which still have to train 15 parents and 10 caregivers by the end of this. And partnerships and collaboration in as far as other organizations are concerned, such as your UNICEF, your ECD Alliance, and others such as USAID. And these are the type of collaborations and partnerships that we have so far. And you have also collaboration with universities, for instance, the University of Fort Hare Center of Excellence, and which is helping in the area of research in a longitudinal study on institutional implementation. And there are a number of other, you know, collaborations and partnerships that we have forged to ensure that there is proper implementation of the policies. Challenges would be mostly the same as the other challenges that I alluded to, and I'm not going to go through that. ECD, human resource development, is another area which is very key within the policy itself. And it affects training of ECD practitioners. So the qualifications that we have since 1995 and the number of practitioners that do have those qualifications, as you can see, remember members that we want the practitioners at least to be at NQF level 4, which is an equivalent of matric. So as you can see there in the middle, those who are at the NQF level 4, we have 21,196. But of interest is that after the level of even post-university qualification, that is your NQF level 8, you can see that we do have ECD practitioners. The total is about 1,142. And that is your ECD practitioners who happen to have those higher qualifications. What is also of interest to look at is the issue of that horizontal movement of practitioners that will be moving from one level to the other, and also your vertical movement. And this slide, or this table, the slide and the table is on ECD practitioners who are responsible for your 0 to 4 year olds. And we're reflecting on the number of registered centers. And this information, the source thereof is indicated below there, which was provided for by the Department of Social Development when they did an audit of ECD centers in 2014. So what this helps us to do is just to do some projections regarding the number of practitioners that are needed per center. So we have this as the total number of registered centers, which is about 18,190. I'm talking about the steps that relate to a 2014 audit. So as a result of that, we said the estimated number of ECD practitioners, assuming that you would have about 5 practitioners per center, would be 90,950. That's the number of practitioners when we do projections. And we say those who are below grade 12, below NQF level 4, currently would be 40,930. That is in terms of the steps, based on the steps that we had. Now we are saying we have the number of those who are below grade 12 is 40,990. And those who are at NQF level 4 and above are about 50,022. And the target, if these statistics were anything to go by, then this will give us the target for 2017, where we'll be targeting putting your practitioners at NQF level 4. Then we are looking at around 3,470.
current NQF level 4 ECD practitioners who are in training as we are speaking. We have them in those provinces, but unfortunately there's no training taking place in the Free State, in KZN, as well as in Northwest. But all in all, we have a total number of 2,043 practitioners who are in training. And the next steps would be to work with HDPCT and SACWA to ensure that all practitioners who have completed the level 4 qualifications from accredited ECD training providers are on the National Learner's Record Database, what we call your NLR. And conduct an audit of the qualifications of ECD practitioners serving in registered ECD centers. So what is currently happening is that as and when we get the registration or data regarding the registration of centers from social development, what we normally do is to go and do some audits regarding the qualifications that are, and this is an ongoing process. Provincial Department of Education budgets for training. We thought that the issue of training is quite key in terms of delivering your ECD programs of quality, especially when it comes to early learning. So we thought that we should also reflect on the budgets that are allocated for ECD in provinces. Now in provinces, under program 5, we do have three sub-programs, and one of the sub-programs is particularly for your pre-grade R, which would be cover maybe your 0 to 4 year old as well. So in the provincial departments, I will not go deep into this one because it is for the financial year. We are just looking at the trends. And the trends are telling us that much as provinces are doing well in terms of budgeting for ECD, in particular budgeting for your pre-grade R programs, but we have noticed that there is a trend in terms of your expenditures, which are very low throughout the year. So there is an allocation, but the expenditures are very low. So as you can see, for instance, in that previous, or the 2014-15 financial year, we had an expenditure sitting at 72% nationally. And of course, it will differ from province to province. You can see that there are other provinces where expenditure is extremely, extremely low, or maybe even non-existent. And this is 2015-16, the same picture, we are at 88%. The same picture again is imagined in 2016-17, which is the previous financial year, we are at 80.5%. I think this, what we are highlighting here is the fact that we need to prioritize ECD, especially because I think in most cases people with the ECD will just be your grade R, and forgetting that actually even your children who are below grade R also have to be accommodated here. So we are sitting at 83% of the financial year, despite the fact that we had a budget, for instance, main appropriation of about 351 million. ECD Human Resource Development Strategy, and the progress that we want to report here is that there is a consulting firm that has been commissioned to develop this, and we have already had the first draft of the integrated Human Resource Development Strategy. This has been done through funding from UNICEF. So we have already had the first draft of this integrated strategy, HRP strategy, and these are the deliverables and implications for the sector is that this integrated, the National Integrated ECD Policy recognizes ACD as a public good, commits to ensuring universal availability and equitable access to quality ECD services all the time. And we need to have all those things in place, including your enabling and enabling and regulatory framework, services, and so on. So the challenge that we have generally around the development of this integrated HRD strategy would be around the fact that it's very highly multi-sectoral in nature, and at times it becomes a challenge to collect all the input from other departments, other departments that would already be having their own HRD strategy. And the timing of the development of the strategy is a challenge in a way. Your ECD programs, the lack of clarity in alignment on the possibilities in the policy. The policy is very clear in terms of the roles and responsibilities, but at times that also poses a challenge. Concerns about the respective department's autonomy, in particular, because this is driven from UBE, and it involves other departments and ECD sectors, so it might be seen to be actually the sole responsibility of one department. So this thing of integration and multi-sectoral approaches to doing some of the programs, it's fairly new in itself. It poses a question, a challenge, because most people are very and departments are very territorial. Even within the department, people are very territorial about their respective functions and difference in the state of readiness to implement concurrent but not non-aligned HR development processes. The next steps are indicated there to say what are the things that still have to be done. But I've already indicated that we have received the first draft, so we are in the process of looking at the challenges that we had and trying to mediate them so that we can be able to move towards the final draft of this particular integrated strategy. And the recommendation that you are putting to the committee is that the joint portfolio committee should discuss the joint briefing by the three departments on any ECD. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for the recommendation on the three departments. No one can register the fear that the most the famous challenge is how you need to make sure that this thing is driven to where we want to see it in the country, to make sure that we meet the requirements and the expectations of the industry. I think in all the sections of the presentation, basically the challenge is that how do we bring you together to make sure that you drive this thing, because as it is, we always have, you know, these gaps that we keep on seeing. And for me, again, the issue of the data, but as we discussed, I think it leaves much to be desired as you continue with your presentation when you compare some of the data that are coming up, and really it does not give us a clear picture as to where exactly are we in the country. Is it the true reflection of what we want to see? And one can make come up with a number of examples, but let me open up for members to pose questions, to have suggestions on the presentation that we have had today, showing the life and the future of our children. Honourable members, I will just leave it with you today to say I know it's a very important topic. Must always remember that it's quite a number of us today. Let us not be taken that much. I won't say how many questions per person, but please, can we try and yeah, please, let me say, can you not be more than three per person?
Oh, no.
So that we give each other a chance and we will be able to. Can I see by the raise of hands from those who want to say something?
Chair,
Honourable Mwune,
pardon me, Honourable Members, if I don't think there is anyone that I do not know, but I might forget. I remember I'm still from New York, I've been away for 3 months, maybe that means that.
What's your name again?
Your name again, sir. Dr. Susan Temegwayo.
Dr. Temegwayo will be the second one. Honorable Ngwezi, we are following. Honorable Gosha will follow. Honorable Basomo will follow. Honorable Costa. Honorable Porto. Honorable Olive, Honorable Mashevsky, Honorable Mashalena. Am I not leaving out any? Okay, for this first round, I'd order please. That Honorable Ngoli.
Thank you very much. I don't know whether I have seen this thing, this definition, inappropriate. But if that's the case, that can be no. If that's the way I have seen it here, then I will need an answer on this definition. That ECD, you say, is the early childhood program that goes up and, from 0 to 4 years. It's not the case. My understanding is even grade R. My understanding was even grade R forms part of the ECD program. If that is the case, then you just tell me that if that's the case, I will come through the follow-up question on that one, Chairperson. Then the question on, I'm happy with the involvement of the civil society organizations and other departments in the provision of this ECD. They are doing a very well job. But my challenge is the coordination. Do we have any clear guideline on the issue of training standard and also the accountability part of these civil society organizations and departments that are providing this? That's the first question. The second question is, now they are there providing these ECD searches. Who actually monitor them? Who make an oversee of their function and even their conduct? And if there is a person, how does that organization does it? The third question, the last question is, do we have norms and standards in the terms of the fee payments? You know, the people, they just pay, they just, you see, issue financing, this is the money that should be paid. Do we have any financial standard that is in place or any guideline that can guide any SAD center for a charging of fees? Thank you very much.
Can we take 5, then you respond, then we take
Thank you very much. My first question would be based on page 3, and then it's slide number 5 about situational analysis. And it's based on the information derived from the poverty levels conducted in 2004, which according to me is a very big gap. We are in 2017, and obviously the results, the recent results that could have been obtained would have made a difference in this percentage that is included here. That is very important to work on recent results, because you are also associated to a university whose main role is to conduct researches. That is number one. And also it would also have had an impact on the children that are deemed poorer. Maybe it could have been high or low. So please give us a work on the recent ones. And again, on page 6, about the policy goals, very important. You have on slide 11, the short term 2017. We are at the end of 2017, which obviously means we would like to have information based on very important matters, establishment of the necessary legal frameworks. Because as you move on with all this information, the legal frameworks plays an important role. So it's the end of 2017. So if we can be provided with that would also play an important role, and which also has an impact on the estimated cost of that 265 million that is supposed to be spent or was spent or was underspent, as it may be. And in continuation, still on page 6, the comprehensive package of services, the information as it is reflected there. Unfortunately, there's the other ones that are dark colored. We did not, in actual fact, see what is it that is written there. And the presenter was so very fast to an extent that I could not make notes on that thing. So it's very much unfortunate on that. And then on continuing, I think it's my third question now. And based on page 11, very important, page 11, the progress that's mentioned made that the ECD National Integrated Implementation Plan, which was drafted, excludes, and there's a long list of very important departments whose information needs to be included in that policy. So it provides some clause to say we are talking about implementation here, whereas the implementation lacks the contributions of the most important departments as it is listed. And mention was also made of the contribution of COCTA. And COCTA is mentioned repeatedly as one of those challenging departments that are not ready to move with you. So what is it that we are going to do? And without their contribution, do we expect to track fast in the ECD or not? I mean, it's reflected in all the challenges. In page 13, all those challenges reflect on COCTA. And then my question is, you have problems with HR infrastructure, but whereas you give us data, how do you work those data out? If you have problems with infrastructure, that is inclusive of working out the finances. Do you just do the guesswork on the finance pictures that I reflected in here? How do we believe that these are the true data that we are supposed to work on?
Thank you.
And then, yeah. Okay, no, sure, thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and greetings to members and officials of the department. Lord Chair, the first question will be, what are the requirements of a person who can be employed in the Early Childhood Development Center? And the second one is, do we check if those people have criminal records or not? Because, I mean, they are working with very young kids. Some of them might have been, you know, implicated in others. Because I've seen in so many occasions that, you know, some people go to the Department of Education and enroll as teachers because it is easy to get a job, when in fact they have been implicated in some things that can prohibit them from working with children. And I see that on page 35, Honorable Chair, there are three provinces where there is no training. And I'm keen to know why there is no training. Is it because of money, or there are challenges in those who should be offering training in these provinces? Because I think in the analysis they've been mentioned as one of the, you know, poor provinces. And if they are the poorest among the provinces, then they should be prioritized in any attempt to restore any chance of development. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the presentation. I'm going to start off with regard to the shared responsibilities. At the ANC's fifth policy conference, national policy conference, our minister said that ECD as a line item would move from DFD to DBE. Can we find out whether this is true or whether it's not true? Because it's very difficult to have these shared responsibilities, because nobody knows who to take to task when something goes wrong. Disabilities. It's a dire situation that we're in. We only referred to 37 trained teaching assistants in the whole presentation. This is just not on. If you want to move forward with regard to children with disabilities, because they don't have, many of them don't have any cognitive disabilities, you need to give us information with regard to how many SASL educators there are, how many Braillers there are. All those type of things need to be put into writing so that we know exactly where we stand with children with disabilities. And to carry on that question is, I would like to know these educators, because we don't know how many there are that are trained in Braille and trained as SASL, how they've been distributed amongst all the ECD centres and the Grade R centres. Are they evenly distributed? Are the teachers that are currently teaching in these classes appropriately trained? And then, do we have enough assistive devices in these classes at these ECD centres? And do we have any form of rehabilitation to assist learners with physical disabilities? And then I'd like to know what measures are in place to ensure that the curriculum program is quality assured, because this is crucial to ensure that the learners are on par when they move from an ECD center or a grade R to grade one. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the comprehensive presentation. Chairperson, some of my questions have been covered by the previous speaker. My point is on providing quality early childhood education, of which I think is the aim of this ECD center. But when going on oversight, you will notice that this is about job creation, supported by this slide 68, whereby you will notice that under or unqualified or under grade 12 practitioners are more than grade 12 or above practitioners, of which the AG's report also put an emphasis that we are far way behind from reaching the good quality education for our children in ECD centers. So my question is now, what steps do you take in order to make sure, that we have qualified teachers or practitioners in this center? Having seen that even there are provinces such as KZN or Northwest or what, Free State, who don't even have currently educators that are being trained, although they are having so huge number of unqualified teachers. Question number two, what awareness programs do you have to the parents? Do you know these, our infants and children are dying in unregistered shelters and centers. What program do we have to make an awareness to the parents not to register their children on in unregistered centers to avoid these unaccounted deaths that are happening there? Lastly, Chairperson, I would like to know, what criteria do you have in place of a size of a class? Last year when we were on oversight with NCOP in Buffalo City, we noticed that any space can be a classroom for ECT. Somewhere under the tree, somewhere in the shelter, somewhere in the a sitting room. You know, the four room, the municipality four room has that sitting room can be used as a class, overcrowded, plus minus, there was a class which was plus minus over 80 learners, where the practitioners decided to share their stipends because of the number of learners. Why? They felt that they cannot turn the learners away or the children away because of the need of these ECD sites. But social development is approving maybe for a certain area one ECD class or a ECD center with one educator. So how far, what criteria do you have to be called this is an ECD class with so many children? Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think I have been covered as well by the previous speakers on many questions that I wanted to pose, but safe to say that, Honorable Chair, I just want to get a clarity because the Department of Basic Education was making a presentation exactly who is the main coordinator of the program. Because when you do the oversight, you find that you sometimes will become very unclear, are you supposed to engage the Department of Social Development or the Department of Basic Education? Also, on the presentation, some statistics per provinces. If we can get a breakdown on provinces in order for us as members of parliament to understand, because it's a challenge where we come from, especially if I can make an example in my ward. There's no early child ECD in my ward, and you believe me, so the ward is very big, and you become you sometimes you don't even have answers to people to say that where is the next ECD within the parameters of the area where you live on. So if you can get that breakdown of provinces, maybe it can assist us to know exactly what I was talking about. And the other question, you know, at some point I was making an oversight in one of the schools there by the Estenga chair. And the principal was telling me that the children of grade 1 they are not catered for by the ECD. They are using the same toilets with the learners of other grades, which is very, it was very, very, very bad on my analysis. So if the department also can clarify that, as other members of parliament was asking the very same question, that how do you measure those people? How do you measure those things that are happening in schools? As well as the chair, now the presentation is talking about other departments who are not coming to the fore, and the presentation is not even telling us what is the time frame of engaging those departments, because it's very important to have time frames. How are we engaging them? Also, I didn't hear about the Department of Home Affairs, because I think they also form part and parcel of the very important engagement as one of the departments. The colleague have spoken about the qualification. The last one, sorry. But I want to check here. In most cases, when you visit school, you find that the teachers of grade R are always not paid by the department. If the department is paying them, it's paying them maybe for 3 months or just for, they're not paid by the department in such a way that the school governing body at some point they have to fundraise for those grade R's. And it's a contradiction if the Department of Education comes here and say they prioritize the ECDs, but while on the ground is something else. Thank you, Chair, if we can get some clarity on those issues.
Thank you very much.
They're not accommodated. No? Yeah, great R, you're right.
Yeah. From the person that you have just called. Can I give the department, I hope you will see how you take the question.
But the one that I wanted to respond to is the one of the definition of ECD. Now, when you look at the South African school system, it would say, we talk about two ages, right? The admission age, as well as the compulsory school going age, of which the compulsory school going age would be your 6, 10, 7, and your admission would be 5, 10, 6. Meaning that a child who is 5, 10, 6 can be admitted, but in terms of a child who is 6, 10, 7, is a mark that they be admitted. Now, what we are talking about here, which is maybe the responsibility of social development would be those learners who are not in school, and those children who are your below grade R. That's why we are talking 0 to 5 years, and to 4 years, 4, 10, 5. Who will be sitting in most cases in your crashes and in your what you call ECD center. So this is what we are talking about. But generally, when we talk about early childhood development, there is another definition that would say it's led children up to, I would say, 9 years, which is your grade 3. So those are, we should include your 0 up to the end of the foundation phase. So here we are talking necessarily about those who are in control of social development. So in that case then, the other department must also come in to ensure that the child is developed holistically. So this one in particular is about your 0 to 5 years. So there would be other categories of ECD that is catered for in the school. And I would then give over to my colleagues here to answer to the question. I don't know if you want to take a look at the other, but
Thank you, Chair and honorable members. I will start with the monitoring and functioning of the conduct of civil society. Social development in the provinces, they are supposed to do the monitoring of the running of the city centers according to the norms and standards. And in terms of registration, we have conditional registration, which means they meet the basic standards in terms of children being safe, but then they still have to work on other issues so that they can be fully registered. So the provinces are monitoring that, and they are supposed to make sure that the ECD centers and programs are meeting the norms. The conditional registration levels, there are levels. There's bronze, there's silver, there's gold when they reach the level of full registration. This affects the issues of how many children are registered, the space that they are registered in, the ratio of children to the practitioners, the issues of safety in terms of, for instance, how many exits are there, if there's a fire, are the fire extinguishers. You know, there are all these requirements that are supposed to be met in terms of how the ECD is run, and then the training of the practitioners and how the place is managed. And in terms of charging of the fees, we have a subsidy that is paid to the ECD centers, targeting ECD centers that take care of poor children. But as we know, as I always say to provinces, in every community you find that there's a teacher, there's a nurse, there are people who can afford, who have to go through they have to be assessed in terms of their income. They go through the means test. And they have to be assessed in terms of their income, and then they pay according to their income. But in most cases, we are funding centers in poor wards where children are coming from poor families, and also most of them are on a conditional grant. And even with the conditional grant, they are on the CSG, the Child Support Grant, I'm sorry. But the conditional grant is also, for us, as it was stated in the presentation, conditional grant is divided into two, the subsidy and the maintenance. And the conditional grant is helping provinces on top of the equitable share to be able to take in more children from poor families. The situational analysis, we noted that it has to be updated.
Let me make an example.
Yeah.
In your situation of analysis on page 19, you talk to the fact that you have got 26,145 registered ECD centers. Because I wanted to talk and make a picture of what we are talking about. Go to page 10, that is the number of registered ECD centers. Go to page 28. We are talking, just an example, we are talking to the number of ECD centers. Page 28 is the number of ECD centers where you pay the maintenance grant. 678. You know, I wanted to, because at the end of the day, we want to see the progress. Are we moving towards the realization of what we need as a country? For me, you're saying yes, there are parents who can do it, but it's a maintenance grant for talking to those centers. I kept the number. To me, it's so minimal. We
and the same, and you continue to talk to the numbers of, you know, the suspects given as evidence, as one which has been indicated. As of now, you social development, where you have got a cabin of 30 learners per center. Once the center is having more than 30 learners, those learners are not successful. What is the rationale
for that? Is it
Thank you, Chair. The number, I think the number, Chair, that you quoted is the number of new 1,600 in that is registered center. That is last year. That is the end of the last financial year. And then below that is the new additional. Yes. Also, the children is the same thing. But I would like to highlight, Chair, then, until we have a data collection system that is verified, we will have better numbers. Because right now we are depending on centers giving through the province, giving us the numbers of the children and also the numbers of the registered centers we get them through the province. But until we have a data collection system that will be updated real time, we will be able to say at a click of a button that the center, like the one of the members said in the award, they have no center. There's a center in such and such a ward. We can put them, map them out and see where the gaps are, which ones are registered fully, which ones are conditionally registered, how many children they have. And those children have ID numbers. If a child moves from this center to the center on the other side of town, we know it's the same child. We're not counting that child twice. Right now, we're depending on a manual system, which is very hard to verify. And we struggle with numbers. That is a very big challenge for us. But now that we're going to have a data collection system, which will be fed into an information management system, I think by this time next year we will be in a better place. And also it can be verified across government. What education says also talks to what we are saying, the social development, and what health is saying in terms of the children that have been born and are able to track them. And then coming to the screening of the practitioners. Practitioners go through the Child Protection Register. That has been publicized, talked about, and made aware of in terms of everybody that works with a child, or be it an organization or an individual, they have to be screened. They have to go through the Child Protection Register. We know that there are still those who slip through the fingers and they don't get screened, but they are supposed to be screened according to the Children's Act. There was the issue of roles and responsibilities. I think we are waiting for our political principles to announce on that. Right now, social development is a coordinating department. We have that responsibility. Our minister is responsible for the issue of ECD. That is why she was also appointed to chair the Interministerial Committee for Early Childhood Development. So until that is changed and there's a pronouncement, then we will know if there's a change.
you, Chair. Just to respond to the question about the criteria for the size of classrooms. As social development, we have norms and standards that are stated in the Children's Act. And we use those norms and standards to look at the design of our ECD centers. So we have a desired guideline that indicates that the size of a classroom should be 25 children per classroom, which is about 2 square meters per child. Before social development registers an ECD center, there's usually a certificate from the environmental health practitioners that would look at a center and see if it meets all of the norms and standards, and then issue a certificate that indicates what's the capacity of that center. So social development would not register ECD centers if there isn't an environmental health certificate that has been issued that looks at the norms and standards and compliance thereof.
Thanks, Chairperson and honourable members. I'll take the questions about the training issues that have been raised. The one is about the 3 provinces that have indicated that they are not training this year, and that is largely due to the fact that the provinces have indicated challenges with their budget spend and that they would not be able to provide the training. We are looking at working with organizations like the ETDP-CETA to see if we couldn't get some assistance for those provinces. But it's linked to the question that was raised about what steps are we taking to ensure that practitioners are appropriately qualified. And I think it is linked to what we have indicated in the HR strategy. Is we need to look at how we're going to employ practitioners so that we can ensure that in the same way as practitioners that are working within the education system now are going to be absorbed with the minimum, when they have the minimum qualification for grade R, that we put similar processes in place for practitioners that are working in ECD centres. The difficulty, I think, that has been highlighted is that many of our ECD centres are not public, it's not publicly provided, and that it's actually privately provided, and how do we ensure that we set the minimum standards to ensure that that happens. But be that as it may, we continue to work with different agencies. For example, the NDA is busy training. Provincial NGOs are also involved in training. There are some municipalities that are involved in training. And what we try to ensure is that all of them that are involved in training, that they use accredited providers so that the, when people emerge from that system, that they are able to have a credible qualification. The step that we have indicated around working with SACWA and the ETDP-CETA is really to ensure that we bring all of the information together and not only report on what the Department of Education is doing, but what all the different agencies are doing that are involved in training. So we are busy collecting that information. We are going to be able, within the HR strategy, we will be required to indicate how we're going to ensure that all of our practitioners are appropriately qualified. It's not just about having the qualification in place, which we have at the moment. It's about having the accredited teacher training organizations that would be able to train people to ensure that they emerge with an appropriate qualification. So the all of the steps that we need to be taking in order to ensure that that happens, we are currently in the process of dealing with. I just wanted to raise the, and we are working.
Can the chairperson use the mic, please? Can you use the mic, chairperson?
Okay. I'm sorry for that. I mean to say, if you can say, someone's coming, you can clarify for us who is
solely not responsible for the training for the practitioner. You know, that is where in social development goes 0 to 4. Then the practitioners are trained, then the curriculum learners need to undergo and just clarify for us that so that even when we do our oversight, we know exactly which department to talk to and what the person is going to come to.
Thanks, Chairperson. The Department of Basic Education is responsible for ensuring that the practitioners are qualified, and at this point we are talking about qualification at level 4. So the you're saying solely responsible? Yes, we are responsible, and we are responsible, one, in terms of actually providing the training, and that is what we have indicated in the slide, where the three provinces are not providing the training, and they do their training through accredited training providers. So the department provides the funding, and the accredited training providers provide the training. We are also, based on previous engagements with the portfolio committee, we are now also consolidating and coordinating all the training that is happening across the provinces, even by NGOs, because there are NGOs that are also providing training. And we do that through the subcommittee that we have, which is the National Training and Curriculum Subcommittee. So we have a Training and Curriculum Subcommittee that is hosted and managed by the Department of of Basic Education. We have all the relevant organizations, for example, CETA, SACWA, etc., in that structure with the NGOs that are working in training, and we are now collating the information from all of the training organizations. Because not only do we have a difficulty with people getting qualifications from unaccredited training providers, but we also have a problem where a practitioner will receive training from a number of different organizations, and we don't have a way of managing that. So we are busy trying to coordinate all of that at the moment. But the Department of Basic Education is responsible.
Even, I know, Honourable Member, this is still that your question was not touched or catered for. Let us take this round and we'll come up for that. I'm adding you, Doctor, on the list that already have a list of certain topics in mind, but I will add you at the end. So you are not the first one. Let me start with Honourable Scott.
Thank you.
Can I just respond to the question that relates to the data that we use? I know that Musa has tried to cover that, but I'm just saying that what we reflected here, much as it is outdated, it is data that influenced the development of the policy, which was approved in 2015. But regarding what the situation is right now, I think the Honourable Member is right to say maybe we need to preface our presentation with current data regarding those poverty levels, just to make sure that at least we move towards closing those gaps. So we do appreciate that as an input.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks Dr. Mawai for the presentation. Your presentation also is also good because it has challenges. In your challenges, you only singled out one department that is not with us, was not part of you drafting the document that is COPTA. I'm just scared
what is it
to check as to maybe you said some departments are not cooperative, but you only mentioned COPTA, that is not part of us. Really, the other ones that you never mentioned as not cooperative, are they just because they are semi-cooperating, there is something that they are doing that COPTA is not doing?
do you have a winnable solution on this? What are you doing about it to ensure that the co-opter comes on board and be assisting in this regard? The other issue I wanted to raise was, you know, it has been raised, the one that we find when we are on overtime, where in a center that has plus minus 45 children, 30 are subsidized, are covered. And subsidy to me, you subsidize on top of something. Is there a standard amount that the children are paying to be able to deserve the subsidy? What criterion is used to select those children? Because if you subsidize 30 out of 45, it means that you know the rest are just not catered for, and they are not just part of the system. How do you select them? I wanted to check as to a criterion on selection of the learners, because they are just part of that particular community, and if really they are not part of the amount offered by the department, some I believe parents do withdraw them and take them back to stay at home, because with regard to nutrition, they are not going to benefit all of them, and if they are to share, some of them, the number doubles. So to an extent that it does not assist them if, say, maybe sometimes they are not paying any stipend. The other issue I wanted to check with you is with regard the safety, the security of this learner, with regard the infrastructure. Do we have a standard requirement for the infrastructure, more especially the classrooms and the toilet? Because on oversight, you know, sometimes they are just in a garage, there is no toilet that suits those learners. And if you want to go and check outside, you will find that outside those toilets, they're just mess. It means they are not catered with that toilet. They're not catered in that order. And lastly, is to check as to really what really the intention of ECD is. Is it job creation rather than the development of the children?
Sure.
To what extent are the practitioners being trained? To what extent? What are the minimum requirements for those that are supposed to be trained? Thank you very much.
Well, any favor? You have more questions?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I would agree with other members that most of the questions have been raised, but I also want to ask a few that were left out. I just wanted to check with regard to issues of monitoring and support, what happens and how does it at that level, because I've seen that in the report you highlighted that you trained about 100 district and provincial officials, and maybe if you can just illustrate, maybe clarify us on how that function is being rolled out. The other point is on the issue of the practitioners that are currently on site. Is it a requirement that they must be registered with SAFE because they are ECD
early education, you know, there is education there that professionals, and in order to also professionalize the profession. On the issue of training, last week we received a report on initial teacher education, wherein there was a report that there is a project which targets early childhood care education. So I want to check to what extent are you implementing that program, because I can see that you are especially in areas where they involve universities and the society. Can you just clarify us on how you are influencing or benefiting from that? Because I would suppose that we should lecture on that project so that we are able to cut, you know, the costs where we are lacking. And then on the issue of integration. There is an issue that has been raised on the issue of integration and leadership. And I would suppose that in the first few years of 2015, the Department of Basic Education and Social Development in a similar meeting once reported that there are policies that have even come before the cabinet approval for approval on issues of integrated approach to ECD and also on the issue of the conditional grant and so forth. I just wanted to check why are you still experiencing the problems, because clarity has already been made with regard to the role of different role players within the sector as highlighted by the presentation. Why are you still having that problem, particularly with the other departments not coming to play? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I know it's not your first day back, but from my side, it's the first time I've seen you back, so welcome back after our terrible experience. It's good to see you. I have three quick questions. One of the things that limits some of the ECD centres are bylaws of city councils, and there is no uniformity. Some rules apply in Mpumalanga and then different rules apply next door in Limpopo and around the country. Should we not be asking SALGA to try to get municipalities to have a uniform set of rules for ECDs? Because then we can have a clear, understandable set of things that each ECD must have. Must it have so many toilets? Must it have what? Because at the moment it's a bit of chaos out there, and I think it would be good if we had a minimum standard that SALGA would promote with municipalities so that bylaws can be amended to make it easier for people to understand and to implement. Number two, you talk about on slide 19 how many ECD centres are registered and how many children are using it and how many are subsidised. So what I want to ask about is the unregistered centres, how many are there? Do we know how many there are? Has anyone done a study to find out how many are just not registered? And what are we doing to find those centres and to get them properly registered or close them down and move the children if they don't want to do the proper things to get registered? And my final question is just on slide 68, I'm not happy about the numbers for the Northwest. They're not the smallest province. They don't have the lowest population. That's the Northern Cape. Yet, when you compare the Northwest figures to the Northern Cape, they've got many less facilities, many less practitioners, etc., than the Northern Cape. That's a problem. That's a big problem. Because if the Northern Cape needs 787 centres, the Northwest should need more than them, unless you've got massive big centres for thousands of children in the Northwest. Their population is bigger, but there's less practitioners. So what are we doing about the Northwest to fix it? When you look at all those columns on slide 68, the Northwest is just not performing. Targeted training doesn't tell us anything, because that's not a result. That's a target. And we know when the department sets targets for 600 schools that must be electrified, then Nord schools get electrified. So the targets are pretty useless. What we want is to know action. What is happening in the Northwest, and why are we not seeing more people trained, more centres opening? What's wrong with the Northwest? If I can just get an answer. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. So thank you to the department for the presentation. I'm just a little bit, kind of worried about the numbers in terms of, I see that you have, you're saying on the first slide, I think it's actually slide five, that there are about 8 million children that were actually born and up to the age of 6 years old. That was in 2015. So one would assume that now, I mean, it would be nice to have the figures to say, okay, how many children were born and how many do we have that are up to 6 years old, so that we can have an understanding of how many have been allocated to ECD, who how many are in the ECDs. But actually what is more worrisome for me is the fact that you have 968 learners that are in ECD. Is that the actual number, 968,000? Okay, yes, that's what I want to find out. Because then that means only 11 learners are actually in ECDs. So out of the 8 million, how many qualify for ECDs? Because now I don't expect that the entire 8 million qualify to go to ECDs, but then how many do qualify, and how many learners are in ECDs? And based on the National Development Plan, how far are we in actually achieving the target to be able to say, you know, we have achieved the target? Are we getting there, or are we at 11%? And what steps are you going to take to make sure that, you know, we are able to accelerate the inclusion of all newly born and learners up to the age of 6? I think about 2 months ago, I was doing an oversight in the Nathville, in different hostel, Ward 6 in Machabeng. And I'm telling you, if you go there now, there's not even one child. It's an informal settlement. There's not even one child who's in ECD. All the children are sitting at home. The parents are at home. I just want to find out, because according to the map that you gave us, you're saying, okay, we have so many ECDs in each province. But it would have been good to actually know exactly according to the areas, if the areas, different areas have been catered, so that we have an understanding. Because that for me was very worrisome, to see like a lot of children just being at home, not going to school, not actually even being looked after, some of them. I think the other questions you have answered, so thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Welcome back. I think because the ECD is a public good, and it is the foundation on which our national democratic society will be based, or is it. And the national democratic society will be achieved concurrent with the fourth industrial revolution. And if we do not create the basis for the people to acquire the necessary know-how, we will just be the victims of the fourth industrial revolution, and we won't be able to achieve the better life for our people that we are fighting to have. So it is imperative that we understand that too many cooks spoil the broth, and we can't afford to have this common good just be a willy-willy, wishy-washy type of thing that is done as and when. For those who are fortunately in a better position or in a right place at the right time, the rest, well, we will see them as we go along. It is part of the method which we are using that will lead to failure. Why don't we make it put it under the Department of Basic Education and have helping to look to be integrated in this system to look after their health, because it's no use just trying to give them education when they are not healthy. They won't cope up. These two, I think, will be key to salvaging the future. For now, it is just done. Somebody's doing it. Fine, it's done. But is it the proper way to do it? What needs to be done properly. Because if we don't do our best and give them our best, it's not worth doing. Thank you.
No, sometimes let me also just ask a few questions. One, just to understand, is there a subsidy formula for each province that is allocated in terms of how much a child is allocated to a child? Is it based on a particular norms and standards, or each province decides? And if it's a national norm, how much is it? And if it's provinces, how are provinces doing it? Which one is the lowest and which one is the highest, and how much is it? If there is no standard approach. And then the other question is around the using this outdated figure of 8 million, which I agree with another supervisor, so it is very outdated. I mean, it's old, 2 years, more than 2 years, it's very outdated, which doesn't give us the correct picture of where are we standing on the number of children 0 to 6 years. And therefore, our implementation, our strategy is informed by figures that are not correct. Then taking that into consideration, how then do we determine the extent to which we are making progress on our progress? Because the figures are very old. You might be having now 10 million. We don't know. We might be sitting at 12 million. We might be at 6. So we don't know where we are. So how are we going to measure progress if the figures that we are using are very old and outdated? I'm raising this because it's very difficult then to mesh the status of the registration vis-a-vis what, because you must measure that status so that you are able to arrive at a percent based on the information that is current. If you can just clarify for me, what is the total figure? Because I've been adding years, so I'm not sure whether my addition is correct. according to your presentation, in the first quarter, in the end of the financial year, which was March, you had a total of 944,000. And then in the end of the second term, which is September, you had 968 new. So that does that mean that it's 968 plus the 944? This then goes to about 1.9 million. Is that the correct interpretation of the figures that are currently, that we currently have? So that at least we've got a better picture. So how many do we have in the system? And then how do you correlate your slide 19 with slide 68. Your slide 19 says registered ECT at the end of the financial year was 26,645. And then at the end of the second quarter, new ones, 1,623. But when you go to number of registered centers on your slide 34, it talks of 18,190. How do you interpret the two? Because I found it confusing for me. So they're saying number of registered centers 18,000, and the number of registered centers now, for when you add to the 1,000, it goes to about 28,000. So if you can just clarify that, I could not find a correlation of the two figures. Which is which, and how does each one relate? Coming to the health question, sir. No, it's cool. Coming to the health question, sir. Well, I put many in the, because we've been restricted, unfortunately. Maybe we'll need sometimes only for the whole day to deal with this issue, rather than the 3 hours that you allocated to this time. It's literally impossible. Maybe something that needs to be reviewed during committee with time and have the whole team to deal with this matter. The report doesn't deal with the integrated school aid program. Why is it missing? Let me just clarify, because there's nothing around integrated school program, especially those that has got are contributing towards learners not performing at schools. Your hearing, your eyesight, all those things that are contributing to children not being able to properly performed at school level. It's missing in the presentation. Even the health alone itself, because there's another one for health, it says nothing. And one would have thought that it's one of the most key critical programs of integrated school health, which then should be integrated as part of the ECT program.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and welcome back, Chair.
Chair, I think part of my question has been covered by Honorable Matalela with regarding the school health integrated program. Because, Chair, I was worried where I'm seated that looking at the presentation, I was asking myself, what is the objective of us as health being part of this briefing? Because I was not seeing that part of health. And I was even chatting with Honorable Tembewai to say, so we are here just to talk about food, because I think what was relevant to health, it was school nutrition. But anything else, I didn't see anything that health has to contribute in terms of what they have presented. I was getting worried, because I thought what was critical for us as health is the school health program, where screenings are done in all the hospitals in the primary schools. But those screenings, nobody knows whether those children get treated or not treated. So I think that is our priority for us as health when we talk about ECDs. But also, Chair, I was even worried when I was looking at the National Integration Plan, where there are many other departments that, I don't know, the department was presenting that they are not cooperating. But I was just wondering, if those departments are not cooperating with them, how are they going to implement their plan? And what will be the impact of them being able to implement their plan? I was getting worried, Chair. But also, Chair, I think we are talking ECD. You know, one when you say ECD, one will think of anything that talks about early childhood development and so on and so on. But when I was looking at NAD and other things, I was asking myself, "Kuthi marakahle kahle, lezi zinye, is it because kufanele ama crash abe ne electricity of what?" But I'm not sure, you know, because I don't want to bring my confusion to the portfolio committee, but other departments that I was seeing there, I was just starting to be worried whether is this a tender or what, because I'm trying to think and trying to put everything together. I'm just raising what my confusion is, but I think with the disciplinary contribution that I made, Chair, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I hope you receive my apology. I was not intending to ask any question because I came late, but it is the response around the change. I would have expected the department, I'm assuming it's social development, that when the lady said that they have been vetted, but there are those that slip through our fingers. I would have thought that you would say, but we are putting up, we are developing a system so that we are able. Do you have a program to ensure that everybody who deals with children is being vetted? Because it's quite scary, given the situation of what transpired in Southgate. My concern was that you just left it hanging and gave an impression that, oh well, there are those that we miss, and so what? Two, which is my last question. Slide number 5, bullet number 4, which is a very profound bullet. But it only talks about rural development. We've got peri-urban children that in the peri-urban area, but children in the farming communities. What happens? I know farming is a privately owned, but we have got an interest in ensuring every child, irrespective of where. The Honorable Member was talking about children in the informal settlement, farming communities. You have a program, you have an endeavor in ensuring that as much as farming is in a privately owned situation, but those children that we are to ensure that they are being developed, are being catered for. both Kerry Eben and Fanning, it's because my constituency is in that area, so that's why I'm always biased towards them. So those are my two. The last one, is it possible, not a question, it's a request, is it possible for us, Honourable Chair, you know, to get a copy of the curriculum for training? I'm raising this because you are training practitioners from birth to 4 years. And as a person in the health sector, I would be interested in that training, because looking after a child from birth to 4 years, there's a particular training that is supposed to be there. So is it possible for us to get a copy of that curriculum so that as health we can input on it? Thank you.
We said when you said that the importance of this is to make sure that we lay a background of, we develop the child from those initial days and stages for him or her to be able to, you know, to get that quality education. You are laying a background. For me, really, I'm not sure whether my question will be unfair, but from you, the department that are here, can we proudly say we are getting there? Can we proudly say, from the presentation that we have got today, the programs that are there in place, of which I know very well that you are still developing them, I fully understand that we need to start somewhere. We have started, but are we moving towards the right direction for us to achieve that expansion? There are a lot of materials that we are developing. We have talked of the movies, those DVDs. The fact of the matter, we do visit some of these centers where we don't find schools. You know, you have mentioned them in your presentation. Where actually are those things? Are we talking of something that is still being developed, or are we saying those are the things that are being used, more especially in the rural areas where I can assure you, you don't find those things. I heard even in your presentation you said we are still developing the monitoring program and testing, but for me it will say, from your presentation, seated from where you are, you believe that you find those things, only to find that, because we need to find somewhere, somehow, and to say where is the bottleneck from the top, where you plan to develop these things, but we don't see them getting down to the beneficiaries where they need to benefit and utilize them. Yeah, I think a lot has been said. But I also want to emphasize the point as to say, from the challenges and from the questions that even the honorable members have posed, most of them, this issue of your working relations between the departments is giving me concern. Maybe not to have that lead department, as to say, I think Dr. Maisel has even done, as to say, really, we are catch up in the situation where another department thinks we'll do this. Yes, you have clarified your roles and responsibilities, but from the presentation that you are getting, I think there's still a lot that is being mixed up, as to say which department needs to do what and what. Maybe really we still need to have a day. It was just an exact what we did today. Even the presentation, the way it has been structured. The second day, the next day, where we will come together, we discuss about this, much will be clarified as to say what it is that you wish to see, and having even received the views and the ideas that the honorable members have contributed towards this. I hope and believe that next time we have this joint portfolio committee, your presentation and what you are coming to share with us will be more towards really what we wish to see as a country than when it comes to this. If you are very jealous about this, this is where we all need to begin, and that is why you might see that members are a little bit harsh, as they seem to be. Not that they are harsh, because there's so much concern of what is the program that you are aiming for? Can they even overachieve them?
I will respond to a few questions that have been raised, and then I'll take over to my colleague. The question from Honorable Kofi regarding the singling out of COPTEN. I think in the presentation we have tried to show all the other departments whose input that still outstanding. But the reason why we spoke about COPTA and even provided a slide on the type of engagement that you're getting into is because of the critical role that we play in terms of the bylaws and in terms of seeing to it that the standards, this ECDs that they would normally even approve of establishment of their are in good standards. We have a slide here that says with COPTA, it's not all the units that have not given us the input, it's only certain units. So we are working on the revision of those bylaws, but we are also taking the input from Honorable Oleg that says this is maybe how we can begin to handle it in terms of standardizing our approach to this whole matter of what is supposed to be in the bylaw. So we are taking that, and then we think it's a very valuable input to consult with Valga around. And then the other one was around the practitioners being registered with SAFE. I think there are conditions here for you to be regarded as a professional educator. And for instance, you have to be at a particular REQB level. Level 7 actually. So your ECD practitioners, most of them, we want them to be at level 4. As you can see, most of them are still at level 4 or trying to go towards level 4, so they would not necessarily qualify as such. And the other one is around why is it that you are struggling so much to work together? The policy came into effect and was actually approved in 2015, relatively new. And what's supposed to enable the implementation of the policy is actually the integrated plan, which we are saying we are still in the process of putting together. Without the implementation plan, integrated implementation plan, then it becomes a bit difficult for us to get to where we want to be. We are trying through these structures that we refer to. It's a bit difficult, but I think we are really getting there, especially with the monthly meetings as well as with the multi sectoral structure that we have. And the bylaws, I think we take that. And then with regard to Northwest and Northern Cape, we will try to investigate that, to try to investigate also what could be the reasons why their registration numbers are so low. The data that we provided, I've already indicated another one. That we acknowledge the fact that this data is quite outdated. But the reason why we put it here, we were trying to show what prompted the development of the policy. Then it was perhaps relevant. But meaning that going forward, we need to say where do we stand now so that we can measure ourselves as to whether we are getting to where we want to. We acknowledge that as it is in the presentation. And the oversight that we conducted where children are not at school at all, I think this will also have somehow a bearing on the bylaws that are there. And the other thing would be around the awareness campaign. Because it might be that, you know, in some areas, parents are not even aware of the existence of other centers. It could be a multiple of factors that
that can be attributed to the situation. And I think if we can have a data management system, such situations can better be managed. Because if they are, especially if they are interlinked, I mean, if you link it to your home affairs system, then you would know that so many children are born, and therefore we would expect them to be in the some form of ECD center. And outdated figures, I think we do agree on this one. And colleagues will also, I think, speak to some of these questions that you raised. And as to whether ECD is for job creation or is it for the programs that we refer to, I think the policy is clear to say that it is for those programs that we refer to, your early learning as well as your development programs. More than, I mean, the issue of job creation becomes just a byproduct. So in the main, it's about providing those. But I also need to raise to members that it is normally the case that you would have a policy, but the implementation of the policy might be something else. So this is the area that we need to manage, to say, much as we have the policy, but now how do we ensure that at least the implemented policy is very close to the recent policy. And that would also touch on the other departments that we are supposed to work on. We've got a list of them, the Department of Energy, this is an integrated policy. So as such, all the other departments that, no matter how insignificant the impact is, but they still have to give us the impact. And that's why we are saying amongst them, for us, what would be the key one would be corporate, amongst others. So that's why maybe I'm saying the implementation plan for us, integrated implementation, which we are still finalizing, will actually help to alleviate some of the challenges that we have raised here. And then on that, and then I will then give over to Masato.
Thank you, Chair and honourable members. On the issue of subsidy. Okay, before I go to that, I think I need to finish this one, the second one. There's the issue of time frame that was raised. The time frame is supposed to be, it's later than what we expected. We started working on the implementation plan in 2016 in June. We had wondered that by now the implementation plan has been approved. But the challenge is that we're working with other departments. And we have tried several means. The last one now, we've written letters to their ministers. One of the members asked about the Department of Home Affairs. The departments that are not listed here, we have 24 departments are on board. They've given their input, and we have everything in terms of leading departments and supporting departments. The departments that we have highlighted are those that are still outstanding. And we have written letters to their ministers for bilateral so that we can bring them on board. We want the implementation plan to be approved by the end of this financial year. So that is the time. In terms of criteria used for subsidy, we are targeting children from poor families, as I stated earlier, children who are on conditional grants, I mean on the, not conditional grants, child support grant, because those children have already been means tested. And we are targeting also poor wards. There are wards that have been targeted by government as poor wards, and we are targeting those wards. And there is a study that has been analyzed because we're developing a financing strategy for ECD in social development. And in looking at that financing strategy, we have realized that 60% of the children between 0 and 6 are from poor families. And those children will be able to cover about 70%, not 100% by 2030. National Development Plan is saying all children should be having access. But according to the analysis and the capacity we have, so the reality is the capacity in terms of finances, in terms of warm bodies that are there to do the work at all levels, from national to local level. We will only be able to cover 70% of the children. Unless something changes in terms of resources, then we will be able to move 100%. And the issue of safety, do you have any standard requirements? Anita referred to that earlier, that we have norms and standards for infrastructure. And also in terms of having 45 children but having 30 subsidized, when an ECD center is being registered, there are norms and standards, and they could be registered for 30, but they accommodate 45 because they will say that there's a need in the area to take those children. Or sometimes people like her ECD better than mine. And you find that her ECD is overcrowded, but mine has got less children because they like the way she's caring for children and the relationship she has with the parents and all of those things. But the subsidy is according to how many the center is registered for. It's not according to... If the center is registered for 30 children, the subsidy is for 30 children, not 45 children. So this is an area, I think, we need to understand that this is an area that has been informal. I started ECD center. She retired to start it. Now we're trying to formalize it. And chairperson, we still have a way to go to formalize, rationalize, and standardize the issue of ECD, because it has not been a government-driven sector. It's been an informal sector. Now we're formalizing it, we are professionalizing it, so that the quality can be standard. If a child goes to an ECD center here in Cape Town, in town, that's the same quality as a child who is entirely or who is in Tossing Baba in Eastern Cape, or Wanongo. So that we there's a standardization. And it's building blocks, which are painful, but we have to, it's a big elephant that we're trying to bite bit by bit, so that we rationalize and get everything in order. With the issue of the subsidy. Subsidy is 15 rand per day per child. That is the standard. KZN is the only province that's giving it 17 rand per child per day, because they feel they can afford it from their equity mission. They are giving a little bit more than other provinces. Other provinces is 15 rand per day per child. And we're also trying to rationalize the number of days, because also that has not been a uniform with the issue of holidays and closing of schools and all of that. We are also rationalizing that. Also that ECD centers are subsidized according to program, not according to according to whether the center is open or not. Because whether the child is in school or not, the center is being open. And also, even if the holiday is during holidays, people still need to be paying. You know, it's like a school. The issue of comparing slide 78. The other slide, I mean 68, registration, that registration of centers is from the audit in slide 68.
It's from the audit that was done in 2013-14. Whereas the one, I don't know what is slide number 5, slide 19, it's more current information. That one is talks about registration of centers as of the end of 2016-17, and then the second part talks about the new ones that came in the last 2 quarters. So the numbers would be cumulative from last year to this year. But we separate them because we need to see whether there are new children coming in or not. At the end of this financial year, we will add all from last year and also from this year. And the issue of the vetting. The vetting, the provinces, when they go to the centers to want to register them, to monitor them, they check whether all the people who are in the center have been vetted. That is why I was saying some slip through the fingers. They are already there with the children. They are not supposed to start working with the children without being vetted. But when they go to register the centers, it's one of the things that they have to check with the norms and standards, all the things that need to be in place. Because if you are vetted, you have a letter that says you were vetted. If you don't have that letter, then you are not vetted. And also when they go to monitor. But also, in the provinces, they still have problems with capacity. Mm-hmm. Only 3 provinces have dedicated units for this reason. Northwest, Western Cape, and Eastern Cape. Those are the only 3 provinces. Otherwise, the other provinces, their social workers are doing everything. And the issue of the children in peri-urban and farming communities, how they are getting services. Issue of the peri-urban, we are working on those issues, looking at whether those children, for instance, can have. We know that usually in most peri-urban areas, the infrastructure has a lot to be desired, and we are looking at we are having donors who are assisting to look at whether they can get a mobile ECD. Or to get non-center-based programs, or also the containers. We have a blueprint of how the containers can be put together, and we create a ECD center, and for how many children, what kind of space do we need to have a play area, and all of. And also for younger children from 0 to 2, we are also trying to formalize the issue of non-center based. Because we know most of those young children, they don't go to centers. They prefer to go, parents prefer them to be in non-center based or keep them at home. Some are in play groups, some in the rural area, some provinces are providing mobile ECD. But it's an area that we still need to work on, that we are aware that we need to focus on and put in resources so that it's formalized in terms of having play groups. And it's also in our financing strategy where they would go into a program for 4 hours a day, and also how those people are going to be paid, and where the non-center base are going to be, and how do you link the non-center base to the center base so that when they get to be 3 years old, they can move to a center base. And, you know, we have to look at the whole value chain, from 0 to 2, being in a non-center base, and then from 3 to 5, they are in a center base, and then they go to grade R, and then they go to school. Mm-hmm.
and the providence and the state and the state of the certain area, you know, it helps us to know.
For instance, in the valley, Holland has been assisting in the valley with the child minders in who are working in their homes with the children. They take about 6 children. Assisting them with capacity, assisting them with learning materials, assisting them also with the training so that they understand the issues of nutrition, issues of how to use the learning material. But the thing is, they have been working with Holland, but Holland now has been working with the department, even in the city of Johannesburg. Holland and the Department of Social Development, the province, are working on the issues of non-centered. But as I'm saying, it's still a very, it's not as organized as the center base, because I do it in my home and I have a play group. I take so many children, could be my children of my friends, and I keep them for so many hours a day, and I just it's just child minding more than anything else, because it's people who are not trained. And we have also toy libraries. Toy libraries are mostly in urban areas, where children can go to a toy library where there's learning material and there's someone who's helping them, stimulating them and helping them to learn. And then we have a mobile ECD. MDA assisted a lot with the mobile ECD. I know in KZN they do have some, and also in the Eastern Cape, where it will come into the community maybe twice a week. And it comes with learning material and practitioners who work with those children for the day. But as I said, it's not an organized thing, that we have so many children of this age in this area. Therefore, we need this type of non-center base. And these are the norms and standards, and this is how we're going to regulate it. And also in the farming communities, which I would imagine are rural areas, that is where most of the current mobile ECD that we have are going to. They're going into the rural areas.
Sorry, Chair. There's a difference in the rural area. So you can't make that comparison. Farming areas, a complete different
set. Honourable Member, I understand the issue of farming areas. It's also an issue that we still need to look at, because they have their own needs. And the farming areas, you know, they have the farmers who are owning the farms, as you said, and they have their own dynamics. Let me put it this way.
Well, completely different to the farmer owner who is the only
I think for her safe chair, I think maybe she must go do oversight on those places. So that when she speaks on something, she talks about something that she knows what is she talking about. Rather than, you know, it's like now we feel like we are being undermined, because we do oversight and we understand exactly the environment out there. We are not sitting in offices. So as we do our constituencies, we understand exactly what is happening outside. We know even the differentiation. So I think that one, Maravela, I agree.
Honourable members, let us go back to what
you're
asking. Let's point. These are the very good standards.
where we're paving a way for more meetings that need to, you know. It's a learning curve to all of us. It's a learning curve to our officials from the department that are here. As I said, from today, I think in these monthly meetings that they have, these are things that you need to put down and discuss and help, you know, a way forward. So that when we will agree as these committees that are here, we're very interested in this topic. We're still going to consider where you have improved on the presentation. But maybe I should put it obvious to say, it's not the kind of presentation really that makes us happy, but with where we are interacting with it, trying to shape other presentations for the future. I think all the points that are being raised, they are being raised in a very positive manner to assist you department so that we can see these programs being taken forward. So let us take whatever contribution that is being made here in that spirit. We are building each other here. I will allow you, Mango, to continue with the responses that you have. Having noted the input that the honourable member has put in. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair. No, I would like to apologize, Chair, for having come across as undermining and not understand. I've been to farming areas for child protection. Thank you, Chair. I think I've covered the areas that were raised. Unless the something I've left out, I would appreciate the member bringing it to my attention. And thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the honourable member for the question regarding the integrated school health program. I think we have noted that, and maybe in the next presentation when we're invited, we're going to include integrated school health program. But just to indicate that from the definition of the CPC, we're looking at the children before the formal schooling age. So the integrated school health program, it will kick in when the child is now in a formal registered school. That's from CR. Who are in a formal school, that's where the screening of the integrated school health program kicks in. But for the early childhood development centers, our primary health care facilities, they are responsible for that, working hand in hand with the ward-based outreach team. So they will go to the ECDs, and then that's where all the services are provided to those learners. So it's not a formal part of the integrated school program, because the institute centers are from birth up to 5 years. So the 5 years will be catered for in the integrated school program. And we have noted the questions, the concerns raised around those learners who are screened, and we don't know whether they've been treated after screening. We are taking care of that as a department, because we're also developing a formal way of collecting the data and linking the learners with the services when it comes to the integrated school program. Just to indicate, Chair, that with regard to nutrition, I think for us, it's not just the nutrition part, it's the importance of nutrition when it comes to children and pregnant women. That's why we're emphasizing the importance of early antenatal care booking for moms, so that they can be looked at whether nutritionally they are okay to carry on with the pregnancy, especially when implementing the first 1,000-day program, which looks from pregnancy up until 2 years. That's where we come in with the nutrition, especially because if you look into South Africa, as the South African Demographic and Health Survey indicated in 2016, that our stunting rate, we are sitting at 27%, which is an alarming figure, and we need to make sure that we bring those rates down. And I think that that's where nutrition comes in. It's just not about the nutrition guidelines, but also to make sure that you take care of this mother and baby throughout pregnancy, especially the first 2 years of development. And this we do through the nutrition program, and one of them being the importance of exclusive breastfeeding for mothers, the babies up until 6 months. And we're glad to report that if you look at the South African demographic and health service, we have moved from 7% to 32%, which is encouraging, though we know that it's not all mothers are breastfeeding. And just to say we know what the challenge is, but looking at the responsibility that as parents we're playing when it comes to early childhood development, we think we are making strides, because if you look at most of some of the indicators that we have to look at when we're dealing with ECC, we can see improvement. If you look at the importance of early antenatal care, we are now seeing mothers going early to clinic. More than 60% they book before 20 weeks. And the most encouraging figures is that most mothers now, they deliver in facilities, that more than 95% of them, they deliver in our health facilities. Be that may, we seek to make sure that we provide quality services to those pregnant mothers and the children as well. I think I've responded on the interpretation to the program.
No, thank you very much for the response, especially at first place. And I think we are going towards the end of our meeting today. With that note, that we are still going to continue. But we really do not want to close out all the pending follow-up questions ever that someone was saying, from what he has raised and he has raised, you didn't find the joy in the response of that has been given. Can you just open up for that opportunity, just for that to say, really there is something that you can actually think about? Yes,
no, Chair, I didn't get the response from my request in terms of the training for curricula. That's very clear. I didn't get the response whether we get it to the Department of Education or to, but I
well, there's a question that was asked by Honorable, she's gone, saying about whether we're going to get a list of all the ECC centers that are listed as being distributed into four wards. Mm-hmm. I didn't get that response, and I'm going to get it. And if I'm going to get it, when I'm going to get it. I didn't get that. Because I wanted to ask that question, but I was already asked. I was wanted to understand what you're saying. So many percent are in the four wards. Where are those centers? Which wards are those? In which municipalities, so that we've got an understanding of their location. Well, there's one matter, Chair, that I thought I will ask you. In the stakeholders, I didn't get you saying anything around engagement with traditional groups. As part of the key stakeholder, whether through the house, because you can't say you're going to be engaged with them through COFDA, because they've got their own house and they control vast amount of land in the rural areas. But I didn't hear you anything of saying anything around that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. This is actually a comment. I would be of the opinion that we cannot have one meeting with DSD per annum, because there are many gaps and many
questions that are lying in the air that haven't been answered fully. If I just go back to the lady, I forget her name, they try to answer on the non-center based, whatever they are. I have no idea what she's speaking about. I'm totally lost. And this is where we come in with regard to Honourable Marchesi's question and the chair, the lady sitting in front, with regard to children on farms, informal settlement. And then I'd just like to ask a question. What measures are in place to ensure that learners younger than school-going age of seven are attending preschools? And because this is where the cognitive development begins, and ECDs must be seen as an investment, and we don't seem to get that response. I see the lady smiling, I don't know about what, but not you, the one next to you, the doctor. I'd like to know about that, and then the other question that I need to be answered on is, coming back to our disabled learners, what is in place with regard to transport, with regard to safety? We don't seem to get responses and data with regard to learners with disabilities. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Mine is just a comment or maybe an advice that could help, especially based on the general challenges reflected in page 39, where mention is made of immaturity of ECD programs, that was lack of clarity and agreement on responsibility policies that lead us to the difference in state of readiness to implement. To say, if it was possible, I mean, everybody is concerned with the content of the curriculum for those who are teaching the ECD. To say, one of the most important curriculums that is based there should be the policy and how that policy is supposed to be implemented. Once the trained educators have the knowledge of that policy, you will never have challenges, because they are the ones who would be trained and who would be going out there and implementing the correct things. Thank you.
Can I just quickly respond by saying that the question from the court, Honorable Question, yes, indeed, will make that available. We will definitely do that. And then regarding the list of centers and initial work array, definitely that will be made available. But I also wanted to say that looking at all the other matters that have been raised here, what I'm taking with me is that we need to strengthen and try to establish a very good and integrated a data management system, because in that way you'll be able also to have your, when we report, we'll be reporting in a more responsive manner, and such that we will be able to disaggregate our data to say this is for the farming community, this is for the, you know, to cater for all the communities, different communities, but also issues of disability, they will also come in. As it is, we have acknowledged that the data management is a problem. So for as long as we don't have that integrated data management system, we will always have. I think that's the management. When I listen to all these concerns, this is how we can do this. But I think I've tried to summarize the chair, but also to say that for us, this is a very enriching discussion. And I agree with you that this is a starting point. And from here henceforth, I think we'll be able now to come up with better presentations and also that are informed by the most current data. As it is, it was difficult for us to say where are we exactly and when do we want, or when are we going to be at the point where we are supposed to be, because we are using old data. So I'm saying with those that system, which is integrated, it will be able for us to provide updated data, will be able to provide segregated data that is segregated in terms of different avenues of interest, including your farming, rural, and disability, but also the issue of the fourth industrial revolution, which is what we are trying to do already with the online training that we are doing. Mm-hmm. But we hope that this system is in place, we'll be able really to work in a better manner. Mm-hmm. As it is, doing things manually really is very difficult for us to get accurate data, and not even to get it timer even in nature. And we also are aware of the fact that advocacy programs become very central in the whole process, because now if people are not aware of what is there for them, it will be difficult for them to access that. And issues of quality, issues of monitoring and evaluation, I think these are the things that we think will really help us moving forward. So we really appreciate all the input, and the difficult questions that we have asked will help us to shape our approach going forward. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Now I've been closing to this because I didn't open the meeting. I'm not sure when that is. But yeah, in wrapping up, I think what Honorable Mahlalela said was quite profound, that says we need to have a whole day. A whole day with more detailed information. The Honorable Member has raised something that was myself also, I was in a sea of confusion when the whole categories of centers are being have been reflected by the ladies. So this is a very important subject because it's about the future. It's about because when you talk about the fourth industrial revolution, you are not talking about only Eli applications. You are talking about the whole chain, those children that you are to develop. And I want to say to social service development, maybe in that session that we'll be having, we must outline, I'm holding a view, and I'm subject to correction, that there's a difference between a crèche and an early childhood development center. Those are two different concepts, in my view, which I must still be schooled and be told if I'm confused. Not unless social development is then beginning to say, we want to, I'm making a better word, to upgrade creches to be a social, and therefore you can't have a center where people are playing with children, are playing with toys outside the actual center. Because everything must be located within that head. So it has been quite and we've got creches in our constituency area, which you are calling editorial development. We'll still come back to you, the department, to ensure that we're all in the same wavelength. But it's a concept that I do think that it has got the potential of changing the social conditions of our people from birth to death. Because when you talk about a development of a human being, you start at the very early age. So I that's why I'm just these comments that have been made, and as my co-chair has said, take it as also a learning curve. We are also taking it as a learning curve, but I want to emphasize labor on this point, that we must have a whole day settled, relaxed,
have all papers, not only these, but experiences, so that we're not doing it for social development, we're not doing it for health, we're not doing it for basic education, but we're doing it for a child, wherever that child is. Because my granddaughter, your grandson, you do have an opportunity and means and capacity to take them to a Montessori, which is a private early childhood development center. But that child in a farming area, that child in a rural area, that child in a location depends on this government. And that is what, as the ANC government, we are prepared to do. I thought, Chair, in saying thank you very much, I do think that we must take this process very seriously, because it is. Thank you very much. I'm told that the meeting stands adjourned. Thank you. Okay.